From the Gospel of Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must always be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the participating in this word. I love televangelists and preachers and writers who say, I can tell you exactly when Jesus will return by calculating in the book of Numbers and adding to it the book of Deuteronomy and going through the book of, I can tell you exactly when it shall happen. It shall be June the 21st of 2023 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Standard Time. Okay, you don't read the scripture. Anybody that says, I know when Jesus is coming back, you don't know nothing. And the point of this passage is to let us know we need to be living a Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life now. Today. You don't put it off. Because you don't know. How many friends, how many family members, how many people have we known in this life that thought they were going to have all these years to live and suddenly, bam, they were gone? It needs, that very message needs to teach us, remind us that Jesus says, live fully every day, fully in love with God, fully in love with one another as brothers and sisters, fully standing for one another and doing something for each other, not just sitting back and making all these wonderful plans for someday. I have had several occasions in several of the congregations that I served where people have said they've worked very hard all their lives and they've said, we have a whole list of things that we're going to do and trips that we're going to take and people that we're going to see when I retire, when I decide that I'm not going to work anymore, and they retire and die before they can do any of the things they say. I constantly have people that say, well, when I retire, when I get older, I'm going to do nothing but serve God. I'm just going to be, you know, a working volunteer. And then they never retire because they suddenly discover they can't afford to. So they continue to put off working for the Lord because they don't, their promise was, when I retire, I'll do it. What do you think God thinks about that? I have people who will blame God for everything from a hangnail to the death of someone that they love. But the truth is that it's just life. God is in the midst of you. Well, I hate to tell you, but I think God will let you handle your hangnail by yourself. But God is in the midst of all the times of trouble. God is in the midst of when you lose someone you love. God doesn't look down and say, "Ooh, I think I'll kill off that one." That's not God. If you read any of Scripture, you know better. Life happens. We live on an earth that we have rendered imperfect. We live as imperfect persons on this earth. Except for a couple people here who I know have claimed that they are actually perfect. But, you know, the judge and jury are still out on that one. People who, he's over there putting his hand up, you know. People who are good, upstanding, wonderful, close to perfect people die. For no reason. And they shouldn't. And they shouldn't get terrible diseases, and they shouldn't get terrible things happen, and they shouldn't be in wrecks, and they shouldn't. All of these things shouldn't. This is life, folks. There is nowhere in Scripture where God says, you will never have suffering. There is no place in Scripture where God says, you will never lose someone you love. There's nowhere in Scripture where God says, everybody in your family is going to live forever. Other people maybe not, but everybody in your family will live forever. There's nowhere that it says that. What Scripture does say is, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. So live your life today in such a way that if God does come to get you, it's okay. You'll be proud to stand before God and say, I did the very best I could. I was not always perfect. I missed opportunities. I let go of opportunities. I had hard times. I got mad at you sometimes, God. But you can still stand before God and say, but I tried every day to remember who you are and whose I am, that I belong to you, God. I tried to live my life in such a way that I would not have a lot of regrets. A life that is lived all in regret is not a godly life. That is in Scripture. Live your life in such a way that when the Lord comes to greet you, the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Live your life in such a way that people can see the Spirit of God radiating from you each and every day of your life. Live your life in hope, not fear. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Living your life in anger just makes you live a life in which you are churned up constantly and you can't ever find peace. And peace is beautiful and wonderful and a God-given thing that we need to learn more about. We will on another week. Live your life in hope. If there's one thing that I have learned in the life that I have been presented with, it is that you don't just sit and hope for things that will happen years and years and years from now. You hope, you make a plan, and you live it. You want to go on a cruise? Fine. Start planning. Start getting ready. Make your reservations. You're going. Don't wait 10 more years. You may not have 10 more years. You want to revisit with a family member you haven't seen. You want to reconcile with a family member that you have problems with. You want to heal old hurts. Do it now. Do not wait. Do not just live that you hope someday. Hope and someday do not go together. Someday is not Christ-like. Hope is, because hope is active. It means you're doing something about whatever it is that you hope. If you want to reconcile with that person, then get on the phone, go bang on their door, go do whatever you need to do, but be active about it. Live in hope. And know that Christ is living in hope with you. And when you take that scary step forward to do something that you've been hoping to do, that Christ is going to be on the end of that diving board with you, and that Christ is going to be right there with you, and that Christ is going to say, let me do some extra things for you. Not only will you heal a relationship with someone, but you will heal that which hurts inside. Not only will you understand other people better, but you will understand yourself more. Not only will you be able to pray for ones that you don't necessarily like, but you will find they pray for you. And that your prayer for them actually is a healing balm for you. Don't live in someday. Live in hope. Right now, right here, this Advent season, as Christ comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, so many of the hopes that we have in our lives or we think are just dreams. We'd like them to come true, but we don't know that they will. In fact, we kind of doubt that they will. Lord, increase our faith so that we may actually live and walk and work in hope. That everything that you want for this world and everything that we need will be provided by your hand, by your grace. Gracious God, if it is today that we are to be taken, if it is today that you are to return, let us be ready. Let us leave this world singing your praises and singing about your coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are so accustomed to celebrating the Advent season and Christmas, and it comes the same day every year, that it's no longer a surprise. And therefore, it's not so much of a gift. Please let Advent and Christmas this year be a great gift and surprise for you. Let God's surprises come in. And as we stand and sing today, open up your heart to new adventures and new life in hope. Let us sing.